Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. The Reverend Jeffrey Hemmer is preaching.
A reading from Genesis, the first chapter. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. They tell you, when you are preparing to preach for chapel, not to preach to the camera. Focus on the people in the room, not on the online viewers. But having the service live streamed and archived online is a convenient way for a preacher to get likes. So if you want to pull out your phone during the service to give a like, or better yet, a heart to the live feed, leave a 5-star review for the preacher, share with your friends, live tweet about the erudition and eloquence of the blowhard in the chancel, go ahead. After all, I've got an image to curate. And so do you, right? You've got to capture the angle just right. Make sure you use the perfect filter. Give it a few hundred takes before you find the one fit to post, and make sure the hashtags are just humble enough so that people will follow you. Make sure you come across as winsome, yet in control to your direct reports. Appear humble and hardworking to your supervisor. Look put together, calm, confident, more confident than you are to your coworkers. The mask is more than just fabric over your mouth. Image is everything. That's not a new sentiment, though. Not one just born of the image-obsessed, social media-savvy millennial crowd. Maybe you remember the Canon Rebel commercials with Andre Agassi climbing out of the white Lamborghini, pulling down his shades and reminding you, image is everything. There's nothing new under the sun. Everyone wants to look cooler, fitter, more powerful, more influential, more relevant, more humble, more whatever than he actually is. Image has to be carefully curated. In the middle of the sixth day of creation, after God had been speaking everything into existence, something changed. The poetic patterns of evening and morning. And God said, "Let there be." God saw it was good, are interrupted by new words. Now God says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." And then at the conclusion of the sixth day, God saw what he had made, and behold, it was very good. Unlike all the other creatures, man is unique. He alone bears the image and the likeness of God. The image of God, imago Dei, is a weightier theological term than we can unpack this morning. It encompasses quite a bit. Man is like God, righteous and holy, standing in the place of God, good, exercising careful, loving dominion over creation, bringing about the flourishing of creation through his work, coming in the act of procreation as close as possible to the divine method of creation ex nihilo, the spitting image of the Father. Man is a son of God, or was. Then the image was tarnished, lost. Righteousness gone in rebellion, holiness polluted by pride, filial faith displaced by a desire to be their own gods. And so they did become their own gods. And then the task of image reception shifted to the never-ending slog of image curation, put on fig leaves and a veneer of piety. Something of the image of God remains, but not righteousness, to be sure. In your fallen flesh, you bear the image of Adam, the likeness of Eve. You know their rebellion, not their original righteousness. Did God really say, has become your creed? Eyes and posture downcast as theirs, you suppose you need to look after number one. Ingrained trust in God becomes inbred rebellion against him. Dominion is distorted into domination. Amor Dei forfeited in exchange for amor sui. Desire to fulfill the fruitful and multiply mandate in the self-giving act of the marital union becomes lust. Take, objectify, gratify self. Hunger, which should have led man over and again back to the tree of life, devolves into gluttony. If it looks good, eat it. Repent. You don't look good. The image is polluted with the poison of sin. It was a risk, to be sure, for God to make man in his image. Well, he knew the risks. Knew the cost to his own image should those creatures act contrary to his likeness. But Adam is not the icon, not the likeness, not the image of God. He is but a shadow cast by the true image bearer. St. Paul says of the second Adam, Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Whatever your Sunday school teachers taught you about the image of God, that man does not look like God, they were wrong. Man looks exactly like God. Jesus is the very image of God. This is what God looks like. Two arms that can be stretched out and nailed to a cross, shoulders broad and strong enough to carry the instrument of his own death for a little while at least, a forehead broad enough to bear a crown of thorns, feet that can hold up the weight of his dying body, gasping for breath, lungs that can gasp for air, eyes that can weep, a countenance that can become, as the prophet says, so marred beyond human semblance, with no beauty that you should desire him. But he was pierced for your transgressions, crushed for your iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought you peace, and with his wounds you are healed. In Christ, the crucified, then, the image of God is restored to men, to you. You have, in the words of St. Paul, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be firstborn among many brothers. In baptism, you have the image of God anew, fresh and clean and dazzling as it was in creation. You look to God the Father as his perfect son or daughter. You have no sin, no stain, no corruption. He curates for you an image you cannot attain. You are holy and righteous, faithful and good, beloved and His. Image is everything. How you look to the Father is how you are, even while you wait for that image to be revealed in the day of your resurrection. You are the very image of Christ to your Father and to one another. His likeness is yours anew. In the name of Jesus, amen.